Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning, so look for one of those tomorrow morning. But there is content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, keep up with what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can follow that link right on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, I'd greatly appreciate that. I think Dan would too. We always wonder about Mr. Fantasy, but at least you know Dan and I would appreciate it. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's. I figured I'd give you a BTR today.
You give me a what?
A Blog Talk Radio delay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm enjoying how the music is delayed now. I always keep thinking it's not going to start. I'm like, oh boy, what's going on? So, you know, just one of those fun things we get to deal with here. But, I don't even know what's going on today. Anything good happen in the sports world?
Not much. That Samantha girl is going to take over Sunday Night Football pregame show for Boomer.
Oh, yeah. I saw they shuffled the lineup around. I guess it's going to take like three people to replace him or something, or they're using three people to replace him.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks when that's the biggest news, because if I watch Monday Night Football, I don't care to watch the pregame show. Especially, well,
yeah,
maybe
you
not,
know, I'm not a...
I just didn't care for Boomer after a while, so...
Yeah, I'm not a big watch-the-pregame type of guy, so I would watch. I know he used to do a highlight show. I don't remember who's taking his place there. I thought I saw Susie Colbert is doing the Monday night stuff. And I don't remember. It might be Trey Wingo who's getting the other gig. So.
Do you think that all of their salaries equal his alone? Is that how that worked out? Or?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that, if that's why you broke it up. You know, that's a strategy my company uses, is the more people you can get to do the job, the less you have to pay all of them. So, maybe, but, I know Colbert's been a long-time employee, and so has Wingo. So I'm sure, they're not cheap. I know even Ponder has been there, three or four years now. So, but yeah, who knows with what he was making? Yeah, it still might be a better rate for them, as long as he was there.
Yeah, and the NFL, the Patriots are visiting the White House next month.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear how many it's about time where we hear, this guy's not going to go and that guy's not going to go and. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
If you want to go, if not, don't go. I don't care. So.
Yeah. Well, either way, I get their political statement, their political stance, but I still think it still makes them a hypocrite because they have no problem supporting Brady, who's friends with them. So, in essence, You see how that goes. So, but whatever. I think the more exciting news about the NFL is that Monday, I forget what they call them, the NFL owners. I forgot they don't have like a, I thought maybe they had a name like the NBA governors meeting or, you know, some BS name like that. But they're going to be voting in on the Raiders going to Vegas. And I mean, let's be honest, I don't know a whole lot, but I think it would be cool. I think it would be fitting. But then again, if they get stuck in Oakland, I don't know. I think either way it works. What do you think?
Well, this brought up an interesting point that as a ticket buyer, you're much more into this than I am. If they are approved to move to Las Vegas, they won't actually start playing there until 2019. So they'll spend the next 2 years in Oakland. Are you buying tickets if this team is leaving you?
I don't know. I mean, Bears fans still bought tickets and they still bought into that BS that, you know, that's going on with them. So I don't see why they wouldn't.
But, yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, you have season ticket holders, but yeah, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's 8 games. Maybe it's not that bad of a trip to go to Oakland for 8 times out of the year. Maybe you'll only go 4 times. I still think it would be fair to, you know, for a certain time period, extend the Oakland, you know, season ticket package to certain buyers. Because, I mean, let's be honest, we know with football, the NFL, certain fans are super loyal.
Yeah, well, you know, remember last year when the Rams moved, you know, there were fans in St. Louis that were considering suing the team because they didn't get an offer to renew their season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, just, you know, naturally, I mean, obviously St. Louis to L.A. is a little little more difficult trip than it is Oakland to Vegas, I'm sure, when they do move, because they will move here. You know, it's not even really a question. You know, they'll probably still have some fans go with them. You know, I think a lot of these guys stuck with them when went to L.A. for a few years. So,
yeah.
You know, they could be back in Oakland in 5 years with this team. You just never know.
Yeah, but I also think with, you know, if Derek Carr bounces back and just the national kind of following that the Raiders have, I think it would be a bigger draw for them to be in Vegas. Because now you've taken Midwesterners, I don't know about East Coast people, but I know you've taken Midwesterners and cut their travel time down, and you're putting them in a better spot. My friend Ian is dead. Like I've told you a million times, diehard Raiders fans the entire time I've known them. But, you know, they always say they enjoy going to the game, but as much as that's about it. Where, you know, they'll end up going for just, you know, maybe Saturday through Monday and fly back on Monday afternoon or something, where, you know, guys like them, if it's in Vegas, they may make a 5, 6, 7 day trip out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, interesting, you know, to see how this kind of works out. You know, it'll be cool to see the hockey team there, but you know, obviously, this is an expansion team. They're not going to have fans from everywhere. You know, the Raiders have fans basically all around the world. You know, a lot of it was just from the gear. You know, that their gear has just been very popular. You know, I know they got a little negative because for quite some time it was popular with just gang members, but now it's popular with everybody. So, yeah, you know, and like you said, I mean, it's the perfect opportunity. Hey, let's go catch a game. And while we're there, I mean, you know, why not come in on Thursday, you know, come in on Thursday night and stay Friday, Saturday, Sunday and go home after the game. So.
Yeah, or fly in Thursday morning, see the game Thursday night and hang out for the weekend. Because
yeah, depending on, yeah, you know.
You know, the other part of that Raiders following, when you look at my generation and then, you know, your generation and guys maybe with, you know, 10 years older than you, that are, you know, creeping on retirement, they are going to have a little bit more expendable well, maybe not when they're retiring, but you know, more expendable income where they're more likely to go to Vegas than to Oakland.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Oakland isn't really a tourist destination, is it? I mean,
no.
You know, there's no draw. I mean, besides the Raiders and the A's, you know, I don't think there's anything that draws you to, you know, to, well, you know, right, you know, yeah, well, yeah, you know, I forgot about them. Jeez, that's because they're Golden State and I screwed up the name. But, you know, yeah, I mean, what are your, you know, it's not really a tourist attraction. I mean, Vegas is Vegas. You know, I mean, there's, you know, stuff to do 24/7. So it's a, you know, it's a little different animal. It's just getting all the, you know, the T's crossed and the I's dotted and dealing with all the ridiculous, you know, owners. And I didn't realize that there's actually a relocation fee. The Raiders are going to have to pay like $350 million to move.
Yeah, well, that's better than what the Rams had to pay.
Yeah, I guess the Rams and I think the Chargers as well are getting, you know, the Raiders are paying less than they did. So, you know, just, I guess, one of the things you get to do when you're the Raiders.
Yeah. But, you know, I hope that they voted in, and I think overall it would be better for the game, and maybe they'll increase ratings. I don't know.
So, yeah. Well, here you go, Dan. I got a rule change for you. There's a proposal that the NFL owners will be voting on, I believe, the same time they're voting on, you know, the Raiders moving. The suggestion is if your kicker puts the football between the uprights on the kickoff, that instead of the 25-yard line where teams would start with a touchback, you get a 5-yard bonus and the team actually goes back to starting at the 20. There's also been a suggestion that the kicker's team should get a point, but I don't know how that one's going to fly. Do you like the idea of giving the guy 5 extra yards for being able to, you know, do his job really well?
I think so. I mean, I'm surprised the NFL hasn't, well, you know, then again, we don't have the pace of play issues, but I'm surprised the NFL hasn't kind of gone the route of the MLB yet and gotten rid of things that are only a formality, i.e. the base on balls. You know, I mean, aren't we at the point where can't we just eliminate the kickoff?
Well, you know, there was talk about that. You know, the problem becomes the union, because if you get rid of the kickoff, guys lose jobs. You know, because obviously your kicker is a specified guy, and, you know, a lot of those guys who make the bottom of the roster play just special teams. So there would, you know, if you were to get rid of the kickoff, you could actually reduce the roster size as well. And, yeah, that's just, you know, the union's just never, you know, never going to go for that kind of stuff. They're never going to cost anybody jobs. So.
Well, I mean, you would still have the punts, but. I mean, because you think about it, the coin flip happens, and then we got to wait for them to set up, and then they do the kickoff, and then we go into a 5-minute commercial break.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, the NFL is actually considering speeding up the game, and one of the suggestions they made that we never heard out of Major League Baseball was cutting down commercial time. I never thought we would ever hear that from a sport, but the NFL has actually suggested it. You know, will they do it? Who knows? And I doubt it, because they're going to realize the revenue they're going to give up. But, you know, at least it was suggested.
Yeah, but I mean, in today's world, there's so many other ways to eliminate the so-called commercial, but yet still use that sponsor. I mean, NASCAR does it all the time where they do the double screen. You know, we can easily...
Yeah.
While we're watching a huddle for 30 seconds, you can easily double screen it up or, you know, minimize the play action and throw in a 30-second Subway commercial.
So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, they'll have it all worked out. I mean, it's not like
even with the replay,
it's gonna it's gonna end up costing them any money or anything. It just it sounds better that way though. When you tell your fans you're reducing commercial time, you know that's what they all want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, even with the instant replay, you could show the Joe and your guy Troy, or Troy and your guy Joe, already told us that,
yeah.
And we already seen that, you know, it should be overturned or it's set. So while the referees are watching it for another minute, we could just kind of minimize the, you know, Joe and Troy and show a commercial, because I'd rather watch a commercial than listen to those two.
Like I said, though, I mean, if you're a fan, though, you know, doesn't that sound good to you? That they're thinking about reducing commercial time, you know, and that's all they have to play it up as. I mean, you know, that's just one of those, you know, one of those things. So, but yeah, I thought it was kind of funny that they went that route, but. And I did want to get to one more NFL thing while I was thinking about it. I don't know if you saw this one, but the Bears today signed your guy Mark Sanchez for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. So a guy that notoriously has shoulder issues over the last couple of seasons, and then a guy who's completely unproven. So why again did they let go of Jay Cutler? Because he's kind of these two guys.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, Sanchez is being just brought in as backup. That's all. He's here just to back up Mike Glennon. They did decide they're bringing back Connor Shaw. If you remember, he was on the team last year and broke his leg in spring training. Sorry, you can tell where my mind is in the exhibition season. So it's kind of weird because now that they're adding these quarterbacks, Dan, you know, it's been discussed that they really need to add a guy and develop them, but now they have three. It makes you wonder if they're going to draft one.
How can you when you're locked up?
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it'll make their draft a little more interesting, you know, to see how, you know, what they do and kind of how fans react to them. But I just thought it was funny when I saw the name. I was like, oh, they got Dan's guy. Now he's got a reason to watch the Bears. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he should be able to play like a quarter or two or exhibition game like you said, right?
So, yeah, you know, he's there specifically as a backup unless, you know, something actually happens to, you know, Mike Glennon, or possibly maybe he'll just flat out stink and, you know, they may need to go to Sanchez, which could be kind of frightening, but, you know, he would be fine. You know, I'm not, you know, not, you know, especially for this team, it's not like they're a playoff team or, you know, anything like that. So, you know, not going to be a big deal.
No, it's not. And, you know, when the season's all done and over and they're like 3-13, you know, whatever.
13.
You're gonna sit there and wonder, again, like I said, don't all these guys just kind of the equivalent to Jay Cutler? Because, you know, if you put them all on a weight or a pendulum or whatever you want to call it, both sides of the equation are equal to me. I don't see how this puts it better in their side.
Yeah, obviously Cutler leaves because, you know, the fans hated him. You know, that's, you know, it's very much like the Dwayne Wade siding for the Bulls. You know, this is your reason. Well, you know, Jay Cutler's gone. We can buy tickets again. So there you go. Everybody got their wish. And, you know, here, yeah, everybody's happy now.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing I think for me is if I was a diehard Bears fan, what would annoy me is I think they really had the opportunity when John Fox came in to try to move Cutler. And because let's be honest, he never was 100% behind this guy. So if you're not 100% behind him, why did you continue to just play it out? I don't understand it. And if you, if that were the case, I still don't understand why in the last 3 years, or I don't know if this is his third year or, you know, whatever, in the time that he's been here, why they haven't drafted a quarterback. It makes no
sense. Yeah, I've wondered that for the longest time on why they didn't just pick anybody, you know, to try to develop, you know, instead of just, you know, continually bringing in, you know, these backups, you know, that's the thing I've been just baffled with. And, you know, the weird part now is, where is this rebuild at that they're undergoing here? You know, I mean, I don't think they were any better last year than they were the year before. Looking at next season already, I don't think they're improving again. You know, unless they make some huge upgrades in some places that we don't know about yet. You know, this is still a 2 or 3 win team. I think they may actually be worse next year than this year. And, you know, if Cleveland improves a little, the Bears could have the top pick in the 2018 draft. They're that bad. So,
well, for me, it'll be interesting tomorrow with Uncle Bob and coming up into his 41st season as a ticket season holder. We'll see if we actually talk Bears tomorrow or if he only brings up the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, there's
That's 41 years.
You know, it's difficult to, you know, what do you, you know, what can you say about the Bears at this point, you know?
You know, maybe he'll be handing me regular season tickets because he won't be able to sell them.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do wonder. You know, the weird thing is there always seems to be people willing to still go to Bears games.
Yeah.
So, who knows what'll actually end up happening with these guys. But yeah, it's just, you know, there's no promise there for me. I mean, I don't see anything they're doing that, you know, even makes me think they're improving. And even like this year, you know, the draft is coming up. They've got the third pick. They have an opportunity to take the best defensive tackle in the draft. You know, this guy looks like he could be one of those 10-year starter type guys in the NFL. And now it's not a flashy position. You know, he's not going to register double-digit sacks, but, you know, he's where you start. You start by building your lines. And now all the reports are that they're leaning to take a defensive back. So, you know, it looks like they're going to throw away another first-rounder. It would be fantastic if they could get one right one of these times, but it just doesn't seem like they can. You know, they kind of suffer from, you know, what you've heard here, the smartest person in the room syndrome. But you have the third pick. It's really obvious. Just take the best guy. You know, regardless of what needs you have, just take the best guy. You know, it's like having the first pick in, you know, a fantasy baseball draft. Do you want the best player who's Mike Trout? Or do you want the best pitcher who's Clayton Kershaw? That's all you got to decide, but, you know, on what you want to do there.
Perfectly segued, Big Jack. I have my qualms with that. I feel that, yeah, you're right. Mike Trout may be the best player. And, of course, you're going to go number one for a picture. You're going to go with Clayton Kershaw. But I don't know. I feel that number one, Chris Bryant, is going to bring you more value.
Yeah, you know, the problem with that is Trout is more of a stack filler than Bryant is. You know, it would depend on, obviously, how your league is set up. And a lot of the problems you have with Chris Bryant is Joe Maddon takes RBIs away from him. Where, you know, Trout still seems to get his. You know, because, I mean, if we're going to see Chris Bryant batting second behind Kyle Schwarber, he's going to have to hit a double to drive Schwarber in if he singles, or a triple, because, you know, Schwarber's already got a bad wheel. He isn't, you know, going anywhere. So, yeah. you know, that kind of works out. And, you know, Trout, you know, if you're in a category league like ours, Trout is going to get those stolen bases. You know, while Bryant will get double digits, he's going to get you 10 or 11. You know, if Trout decides he wants to run, he's going to get you 50. So, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, even like in our league, if it was just outfield only, you know, like Mr. Fantasies and I Money League is, there's a better case for Bryant because there's a gazillion outfielders. But when it's position specific like ours is, Trout is really separated from the other center fielders, where, you know, Bryant, if you miss out on Bryant, you can take Nolan Arenado, whose stats are very similar. So, you know, that's the way there. I mean, Bryant is obviously, you know, I liked him at number two, and Mr. Fantasy didn't want anything to do with him. So I have no issues with Bryant. I just think depending on your league setup and how it works out, Trout is the better option. You know, in our league at least, because it's a category league with position-specific outfielders. But yeah, you know, there are guys right there. You know, I mean, you know, some people will argue for Nolan Arenado. You know, remember we talked about the guy who had the number one pick in our money league draft at one point in time was considering Jose Altuve, because the separation from Altuve to the next second baseman is big. And, you know, a lot of guys look for that. If you can get the best guy at this position, and that's where Clayton Kershaw falls in, the drop off to the next pitcher, especially now that Max Scherzer is dealing with that finger injury, is huge. So there's a huge upside to having Clayton Kershaw over any of those other guys. But yeah, you know, it's all, you know, that's the fun part about it. We get to debate it. But I know, you know, you're getting your draft list ready, Dan. Make sure you take Will Smith, the Giant reliever, off your list, because he's having Tommy John surgery and he'll be out for the year. And then it's reported here that J.D. Martinez has a Lisfranc injury, and he is going to be missing 3 to 4 weeks. That's the foot injury. He has it in his right foot. So while he'll be missing 3 to 4 weeks, it may take him a little longer to get back in the groove, because those things can hang around.
I didn't realize he was still playing.
Yeah, you know, well, he was one of the guys they said they were going to be trading, and it just never happened. And then, well, you know, we're just kind of throwing player updates out there. Jung-Ho Gang is still not with the Pirates. He can't get travel permission. You know, what does it say here? He has not been granted travel or permission to travel to the United States under a work visa. So, you know, who knows, you know, what's going to go on, or, you know, he had that DUI that he had to deal with in South Korea, where he's from.
Third one.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You just wonder how long it's going to take him to get in. So if you had him on your board, you may want to downgrade him quite a bit, and, you know, maybe you pick him up as a steal in one of the later rounds and hope he can produce. But he missed all of spring training, so he's going to be way behind when he gets here.
And you wonder if he would have played in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he actually planned to, and then this came up. So, but, you know, I know you sent this to me earlier, and I was wondering if it was something you wanted to delve into. You sent me something from rosterresource.com about MLB roster predictions. Was that something you had in mind, or were you just being nice to me?
I was just being nice to you when it came to your prediction picks. But, I mean, I found it very interesting, especially when you look at the Dodgers, because, you know, Andre Ethier you know, he came out and said he feels like he's having Groundhog Day because I guess he's hurt again. And I was a little surprised that, you know, they're kind of projecting that Andrew Tolles would come up as opposed to Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, they. I saw something. Yeah, Tolles was predicted as the starter in left field.
You know, I don't know if that's because naturally, if you, you know, you play first base, and your, I guess your natural outfield position would be right field. If that's kind of what they're going with, and obviously that field weak spot, and then you've got Jack Peterson in center. So I didn't know if maybe that's why they were going with that route, but I don't know. I felt that, you know, if you had the opening, you would bring up the kid, and I don't know if maybe that's because of the, you know, the arbitration clock or whatnot. But I would think he would be the option you want to go with. And maybe entertain trying to move Gonzalez.
Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, sooner or later, they've got to get major league at-bats for Bellinger and find out if he can, you know, if he can play. So, you know, you wonder, you know, it's great to have all these prospects. I mean, we get to talk about them all the time, but, you know, sooner or later, you got to bring them up and see if they can play. You know, and it's just kind of like, okay, great. You know, what are we doing here? So.
Yeah, well, and, you know, even that, when I was kind of looking through that and then looking for my rookie of the year, which I put in, and I'm going to keep looking. I might change, but I doubt it by next week. But, I mean, even that, if, this year, you know, I know you say not to pick the obvious one, but it was very hard because I feel like the top 10, 15, there's only not even a handful of guys that are even projected in my mind to be in the majors, because it seemed like a lot of the guys had monster numbers, but they were down in single or double A. And I don't think anyone's really going to get that Kyle Schwarber treatment.
No, it's always tough now, especially with teams looking to save money, you know, to where you can, find the right guy. And I mean, you know, like, you know, rookie of the year, it's a little more difficult to pick. I just kind of like when guys hunt for the under the radar kind of MVP or Cy Young award choices is what I mean more by that. Rookie of the year, it's tough to say, you know, if your guy's even going to make it to the majors. it's just so hard to find those guys this year because of the way teams handle players.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that one year we really dived into that. I think it was 13, 12 or 13. I was all in on Dylan Bundy because I, you know, looking at the Orioles rotation that year, I'm like, this kid has to be the fifth starter. And then he didn't even come up in their system.
Yeah. Well, you know, last year I liked Orlando Arcia from the Brewers. I figured they would wait for, you know, that little time period to pass, and then they'd bring him up and he'd play the rest of the year. And I don't think he came up until August. So I never had a shot. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things you're kind of like, okay, here we go. you know, what can we do here?
Yeah, and now I, of course, don't want you to give away any your thoughts on your picks or anything, but I found it very interesting that from some of the articles I read, they're thinking that, you know, last year's Rookie of the Year, Seager, is just heads on going to be an automatic candidate for the MVP this year.
Yeah, you know, I haven't quite figured that out yet. I, you know, obviously he's a very good player, but like, I didn't think he was top three MVP last year and they had him there. So they're seeing something that I don't see. And obviously being on the West Coast, I don't get to see him play on a regular basis. I just get his, you know, highlights or anything that comes along with that when I can pick it up. But, yeah, I don't know. I just wonder if we're stuck in the, young prospect hype, because, you know, obviously Chris Bryan is so good, and then Seager was the next guy. So, you know, you wonder if that's just everybody's kind of chasing down young players now?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I look at it, you know, kind of feel like you would. I just feel like there's so many great players in Major League Baseball that it's hard for him to just kind of jump from that spot.
So, but yeah. All right. Well, here, Dan, I found 10 questions before opening day for you that I need you to answer. And to be fair, some of them at the back end are really ridiculous. So the guy didn't really have 10. I guess maybe he just wanted to try. But the first few are interesting here. The first one, how much can the Indians count on Michael Brantley?
Ooh. I mean, that one's had their tails. But,
well, you know, he just played his first game on Monday, so.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where you don't want to overwork him when he's coming back from an injury. So I think you kind of ease him into it. So, but, you know, one guy is not going to make or break you, obviously, as they made it to the World Series last year.
So, all right, question two, and one of these is relatively obvious, so it starts off as a stupid question, but the last answer is interesting. Who's going to follow Rick Porcello, Chris Sale, and Eduardo Rodriguez in the Red Sox rotation? Obviously, the obvious answer is David Price as soon as he's healthy. But I, you know, so he could have added him in. That was just stupid on this guy's part. But yeah, I guess they have it narrowed down to Drew Pomeranz, Kyle Kendrick, or Stephen Wright. You got a favorite among those three?
I think that fifth man is just kind of going to end up being just by committee. And I think Drew Pomeranz is going to maybe kick the job first. But
all right. Now we move along here. Which young infielder will earn a spot in Kansas City? You know, the second base job is open. Whit Merrifield played there some last year. So did Christian Colon. Chesler Cuthbert filled in at third base when Mike Moustakas went down, but he can play second as well. And, of course, Dan, they have the phenom, Raul Mondesi Jr. Is it time to just turn the job over for him, or you like one of those other guys?
I think it's time to just turn the job over to him.
All right, this is an easy one, just a yes or no here. Can Bronson Arroyo land a spot in the Reds rotation?
Yes.
Did you see they announced Scott Feldman as their opening day starter? How are you feeling if you're a Reds fan?
I mean, Marge is turning over in her grave, right?
Yeah. All right, number five. Who will close for the Nationals? They look like they have it down to Sean Kelly, Blake Tryon, but they do say they were very encouraged by prospect Coda Glover. But I don't know much about him. You like a guy there?
I honestly don't know much about all three. So I'd flip it on the first and go by committee and see who does a better job.
All right, well, here's one right up your alley. The sixth one. How will Cubs manager Joe Maddon play Jason Hayward?
In the outfield.
So let's see if he has if he breaks it down a little bit more here. Yeah, he mentions, you know, it's a way to get Javier Baez and Ben Zobrist in the lineup at the same time would be to move Zobrist to right and let Baez play second. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think until he actually catches a groove, I don't know, I have a feeling that Madden's going to experiment a little bit more and have him at the bottom of the lineup, the top of the lineup, obviously not in the middle, and he'll play some center and some right.
All right. Oddly, number seven we already talked about because it's just Jung Ho Gang with a question mark, so we don't need to go into that anymore. Number eight, Speaking of Pittsburgh, because the last question was Young Ho Gang, will Jose Quintana stay with the White Sox?
They've been so surprising, I'd have to say no.
Well, yeah, I you know, it seems, the weird thing is it seems like they should keep him, which means they probably won't. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, all right, well, yeah, okay, here we go. Will the Rangers go with Rule 5 draft pick Mike Hauschild in their rotation? Now, you know, they brought in a lot of guys. They brought in Andrew Kashner, Tyson Ross. A.J. Griffin is back. They've got Dylan G. and Nick Martinez all competing for that spot. I don't know much about Hauschild, so I would probably say no, especially because he's a Rule 5 guy. But do you like one of those veterans over him?
I like a couple of the veterans over him, so I would say no on the Rule 5.
All right, Dan, this guy will be the most interesting player in fantasy this year. Will Christian Bethencourt become a one-man battery for the Padres? You know, he has pitched 6 1/3 innings already this spring. 3 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. You know, he can catch and play the outfield. So do you think he'll catch in one game and then go to the mound?
I think it's possible. I don't know how they'll work that in with fantasy, though.
Yeah, I'm interested to know how they score that. If he pitches while he's in your lineup, how does that work?
You know, because our pitchers don't get hitting stats. So.
Right. So, yeah, that'll definitely be somebody may have to email Yahoo about that. Maybe the co-commissioner?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think – well, I get that one. I think what's going to end up happening is if he pitches in 10 games or however many innings they allow, I think Yahoo might shut down. We probably won't have fantasy baseball after that.
Well, yeah, it could be interesting.
Technically, it would, on their end, it would be kind of bogus. If you had to have him as, you know, technically two players, because that's the way you think about it, that's really the only way you could do it with the way the system is ran.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, would you have to draft Christian Bethencourt, the catcher outfielder, and then Christian Bethencourt, the relief pitcher? You know, I have to see how they work that. So, yeah, it just, you know, could be, so, you know, could be interesting to see. I was thinking, you know, somebody should pick them and see what happens, but I guess we'll have to address that when we come across it. But, you know, luckily, Dan, you know, baseball season is just, you know, what, a little over a week away?
Mm-hmm.
So. We will be, you know, be rolling along, and you know, we get our drafts are what, next Friday and next Saturday, right?
Yeah, they're quicker than I thought.
Yeah, so definitely be moving along. I wanted to see here, what did they have? They had some guys jumping. It looks like Dan. Here's some guys who are going up and down the fantasy rankings. Obviously, David Price is way down. But now, Dan, everybody seems to be high on Jose Peraza of the Reds. You know, he's going to get to play every day with Brandon Phillips gone. I guess he won, wherever he was in AAA last year, he won the batting title. So everybody's kind of hot on him. Another guy moving up the board, Keon Broxton. He's supposed to be he's a Brewer outfielder. But they haven't indicated yet on if he's actually going to make the team. But he's jumping way up. And then no surprise, a couple guys who are going down the ladder here. Ian Desmond, because he's hurt for a month. And then his teammate on the Rockies, Mark Reynolds. So losing some steam there. And then how do you feel about Matt Harvey, Dan? I know I want to stay away from him. He's dropping in the fantasy rankings. Are you dropping him on yours?
Yeah, but I think if you're able to land two or three good pitchers and he's still there, I think he's a guy to go for. I mean, what can you lose?
You know, and then obviously, you know, Jason Kipnis is going down because he's going to be out 4 to 5 weeks with an injury. What do they have here? They have two Astro pitchers. Joe Musgrove is going up, and Mike Fiers is going down. Obviously, Musgrove is going to be in the rotation. Do you like him as a back of the, you know, like a five starter on our team? You know, like our leagues are so big, you know, these guys come into play. Do you like Musgrove? I know he was the key guy the White Sox wanted for Quintana from the Astros, and they wouldn't move him. So what do you think of him?
He's one I don't know a whole lot about, but, you know, like you said, at the end of the rotation, I think he would be a nice little pickup.
So they have David Dahl of the Rockies drop, and I know he was dinged up, and their other outfielders are healthy, so that's obviously going to hurt him. They got Jose Reyes moving up the ladder here, Dan. You still in on Reyes? And, you know, he's going to – he should qualify two positions. He'll be a third baseman shortstop. So do you like Jose after all his issues?
Yeah, I mean, I don't – the issues don't bother me. I think if he has more playing time, he definitely – his value is boosted. I think it's about playing. I mean, he plays better in a Mets uniform, though.
Yeah, it seems to, doesn't it? He just seems to kind of fit there. You know, I guess a name to look out for, Dan, Red starting pitcher Amir Garrett, they think is a guy who's moving up the board here. Of course, you know, the Reds brought a lot of veteran guys into camp to fill up that rotation. So he may be a guy who starts in AAA and then comes up in a few weeks. So you may have to wait on him a little bit. But, yeah, that's just kind of a name out there if you're looking for a late draft pick to take a shot with. He looks like a guy who's moving up some draft boards. So, that could be some fun stuff for you, Dan. You got to keep track of all those guys and, you know, make sure you're ready to go.
Yeah, but, you know, kind of bouncing back to Chris Bryant, are there any other multi-qualifying position guys that you like? I mean, I don't know how it's going to work when we get to our draft, but, you know, he's going to qualify first, third. And for the moment, they had him just in outfield. So I don't remember how many where he played. I don't know if he'll be first, third, left, right, or first, third, left, center, right. Are there any other guys you think, you know, besides Ben Zobrist and Javi Baez?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, like, I know we mentioned Peraza as one of those guys who's moving up. I think next year in our league, he'll qualify at short, or this year in our league, he'll qualify at short, second, and center field. So he would be a guy. Let me see if I can pull up the ranking here and just take a peek and maybe find some guys who could play some multiple positions for us. Because, yeah, obviously, you know, Bryant is far and away the best out of all of them. You know, there's no doubt about that at all. And I'm trying to remember, was Yahoo's rule, was it 10? You got to play, is it 10 games you got to play at a position?
Yeah,
here you go. They have him at first, third, left, and right. And remember, our outfield's position specific. Another guy, Manny Machado, qualifies at two positions, third and short. Trey Turner at second and center. And then you'll be able to add short to that as the season moves on because he's going to start at shortstop. So there's a three, pretty solid names there. Let me see if I can hunt down. I know, you know, Mr. Fantasy loves this guy, Dan, and I just can't get behind him. But Jonathan Villar qualifies at second, short, and third. If, you know, you think he can redo what he did last year? Yeah. So, you know, he's definitely an interesting guy, you know, in that sense. I just, like I said, I have such a hard time buying in on him. And then, you know, Matt Carpenter with the Cardinals is a, well, he's a first, second, third guy. He just doesn't play short. So, you know, there, yeah, there are some, you know, some guys like Jean Segura qualified at both middle infield positions. That's always a big plus. You know, I was hoping to find Zobrist or Baez without having to type their names in and find out where they qualified, but it doesn't look like I'm gonna get that lucky. If you get Marcelo Ozuna, Dan, he can play all three outfield positions. That's always interesting to have.
There's a, you know, that made the NL East hard to pick because there's a lot of quality players, but you don't know how the team is going to do between the Phillies and the Marlins.
Yeah, Zobrist qualifies at second, left, and right field. And let's see what we can get from Javi here. Javi is a second, third, short guy.
Yeah, well, that's fitting.
So if you, yeah, you know, if you think, you know, and you know, a guy like that, if you think Baez is going to get enough playing time, you know, he's a guy who could be very useful. So it's just kind of what you think. But yeah, there are, you know, there are some, obviously, you know, I think Bryant qualifying at technically four positions in our league really makes him a big get. And they actually have him moved up the charts here. He's number three overall now in our league. So it's, you know, if you're interested in him, you're going to have to get him early, or in the auction league, you're going to have to pay for him because he's going to go for a, he's going to go for a big number.
It,
you know, and it is definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it hard because if you're, I honestly believe he's going to go top five in the snake. And like you said, in the auction, I believe I paid for him. I don't think I paid enough, but then again, that was a mock draft and there was only a handful of people in it. So, he's going to go for some money, but I do think, you know, for any Cubs fans though, doubling up on too many of those Cubs is going to kill you though. You know, I ended up,
well, you know, like,
you
I,
know, obviously if
I can figure it out.
Brian, you know, if, don't go to Rizzo. You know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can tell you if I'm picking in the top, you know, like if I, you know, I would, if I'm number one, I will take Trout. But if I'm two or three and Bryant's there, he's mine in the Snake League. I'm not letting him go.
Yeah.
You know, I legitimately think he's got a really good chance to have a 50 homer year. You know, I really think he's that good, and he's not getting, he's, yeah, he won't get past me. So just kind of depending on where, you know, I land.
It'll be interesting, but, you know, and I was surprised though that Buster Posey was still a guy that a lot of people look at. So he's not going to be a guy I can sneak by anybody, but he's definitely not a guy I'm going to pick early, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, you know, he's still, well, technically, he's the second-rated catcher because Kyle Schwarber still qualifies as a catcher in Yahoo because he only played one game last year. So, but, you know, like, you know, they're back. You know, Posey's 55, so that puts him in the third round of our Snake League draft. And, you know, that's a good spot for him. You know, they actually, Schwarber's actually only one spot ahead of him at 54. So... Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, to see if maybe those guys go back-to-back or how that would work out. But, yeah, you know, the other catchers, I mean, Gary Sanchez is up there. Jonathan LaCroix rolling in at number four. And then it's Wilson Contreras at five, Yasmani Grandal at six, JT Realmuto at seven, Evan Gattis at eight, Sal Perez at nine, and Brian McCann rounds out the top ten. So... You know, and catching, obviously, you know, you can find it, you know, later if you need it.
Be interesting, though, to see what, you know, Posey, Schwarber, and Sanchez go for, and then also how early they go in the snake.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with our league, I mean, we all know it, since it's a Chicago-centric league, there's always a Cub fan who jumps up and takes, you know, like my guess is Schwarber goes in the second round because somebody's going to see him and go, oh, great, he's graded as a third rounder. I've got to get him now. So yeah. I have a feeling he may even go late first. You know, he may go 19 or 20 because somebody's going to see that and want to jump all over that. So,
well, and if you're 19 or 20, you've got your next pick coming up, so you still have got a pretty solid pick.
Because, yeah, you figure, I mean, you know, Bryan and Rizzo are probably guaranteed first rounders. I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe John Lester sneak in there with the year he had last year. And then Schwarber would be a guy at the back end. And of course, if Mr. Fantasy is drafting in the back end, that could also throw Jake Arrieta in there because he loves Arrieta. So, you know, yeah, you could see five or six up all off the first round.
I'd be surprised if Mr. Fantasy did that jump. I think, you know, that would kind of knock me out of my chair. And not just because he's a White Sox fan. Just because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Arrieta is going to be a solid part of any, you know, the Cubs rotation and fantasy-wise of anyone. But there's just something about him that I kind of want to stay away from.
Well, you know, he is pitching in a contract year, and some people like that. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, some people really think that, you know, those guys produce better, you know, in those situations. You know, I'm surprised Max Scherzer hasn't taken a little more of a downgrade. He's still the fourth-rated pitcher. But I got to tell you, with that finger issue, man, I would be scared to jump. He's projected as a first-rounder in our league, 19th overall. I don't think I could take him there.
I don't think so either.
You know, I mean, I know they keep saying, you know, everything's fine and he's not going to go on the DL and, you know, there's not going to be any issues with any of that stuff. But I just, you know, it's a finger and it's on his throwing hand. You know, those are big questions. I mean, I think I would, you know, take like a Chris Sale over him. You know, those are some of the guys who are right there in his area.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's a guy who I'm rolling it on, but getting out of the South Side, I don't know, I feel like this is going to be Sale's year.
Yeah, I think if they let him pitch like the Sox let him pitch, he's a 20-game winner. There's no doubt about it. You know, because that's going to be a good team, and unless he pitches in some really hard luck and they just don't score for him, which, you know, there's always that guy on a team. Wait, how come they're not hitting when this guy pitches? So ask Jose Quintana about that last year. Oh, but all right, it's time for Dan and I to take off. Dan is going to take the weekend off, but I'll be back Sunday with Mr. Fantasy at 10 a.m. for 2 big hours of Sports Time Radio. So look forward to that. But you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Of course, jump on the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, a big thanks for listening live. We greatly appreciate it. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.
That's SportsTimeRadio.com.